In Parshas Mishpatim we read, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, you should be people of Kedusha. What follows that? Lesochlu Kol Nevela. Don't eat meat from an animal that died in the wrong way. Anshe Kodesh. Excuse me, not so. Anshe Kodesh, Blossom Asoda Trefa Lesochelu. If it died through an injury or a disease, Anshe Kodesh. In Parshas A we read, Yam Kodesh Ato L'Hashem Elokecha, L'Soichel Nevela, Yam Kodesh Ato. Nevela is, it was killed, but not in the proper way. Killed by a person. Trefa is an animal tore it apart, or a disease. The difference between Nevela and Trefa is, Nevela is that it was killed in the wrong way. Trefa could be even a proper Shechita. But what happens is, it has, innerly, 90% of the treifas are not seen when it's alive. You can find the treifa sometimes if the skull is crushed, or if the hind leg is fractured by the hip. It's called Merkuva Lamala. But all the others are inside. And you first see it after the Shechita. So these two things is Kedusha. So in order to be an Am Kodesh, the way the meat is prepared, it has to give up its life with a proper way, with Shechita. And where do we find Shechita? It's a Vachta Kasher Tzivi Sicha in Parshas Re'e. Where is Tzivi Sicha? You look through the entire Chmishachim Shetoyra, you don't find it Tzivi. What does the Gemara say? Sivitzicha b'Sinai, and has Shaloch al Moshe miSinai Chomer Shulchas Shechita. Now the Zohar in Parshas Pinchas, Avreish Chof Aleph, tells us Rab Abba was confronted by a goy, and he gave him three challenges. First, he says, "How can you look for a third Beis Hamikdash? The Navi calls it Bayis Acharon." Achna means it's the last one. How can you expect another one? Then he asks him, since you are the most beloved by Hashem, why do you as a people suffer more than any other ones? Third question he asked, since you're so careful what you eat, why aren't you physically strong like us Yevonim? Like the Spartan, like the Olympic people? Since you eat only special foods. He got very angry at him, and he looked at him, and I said, Gal Shah Tzamas. Comes Reb Lezer, some say Reb Lezer, tells Reb Abba, I asked these three questions of Eliyahu HaNavi, and he answered me. First thing he said was, Mochan l'shivtach ha'pa'alta Hashem, mikdash Hashem kananu yodecha. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash should be, this should come not through the construction of a bus of Adam, it should come in a Shemayim. And also, aniyeh l'chomas esh saviv. And the chomas should not be made through rocks, through stone, avonim, chomas esh. So Acharon, yeah, Acharon means the last one. The Bayis Sheni would be the last one that's created by Bonus of Adam. That's the answer to the first question. Second question is, one thing answers both questions. Why we as a people suffer, and why we're physically not stronger because of our diet. Yisroel Liba da Alma. We are the lave, the heart of the world. And you look at all the other Evorei HaGuf, none of them are the same as the lave. One thing in the lave it has no bones to it, no skeletal structure. It's very soft. And it's even softer than the other organs. Now, most of you people, till you go into a butcher shop, you don't get leif. We used to shecht here. We used to also prepare the leif. It's more tender than the other organ. That's one thing. And the other thing is, you have, somebody has loleinu, a pain or an injury to a finger, the other hand doesn't feel it. The rest of the body, all the avarim, the loshon ha'adam, the shayofen, all these don't feel the pain of the other avarim. But any pain that happens to any one of the organs, the heart feels it right away. That's why somebody loleinu has a heart problem, no stress, no pain, no physical pain, because the heart feels it. Heart is sensitive to everything. So therefore the answer is, anything that goes wrong in the world, they always blame the Jews. Why? Because we suffer from it. The heart feels it. So that's why we suffer more than the others. We're sensitive to anything that goes wrong. Because ideally, if we were at the level where we should be, the whole world would be all good, would be lahav neslacha kol rishei oretz, lahav gilul min oretz. It's up to us. If we do the right thing, that will come to pass. That's why we feel it. And then, the same thing is, the heart takes the most delicate of all the nutrients, goes to the heart. The fingernails don't need such delicate nutrients, all the others. So that's why we, the food that we eat, it has to be kaim, that's not matamtem halev. Anything that's macholas asuras is matamtem as halev. It desensitizes the heart. And we are the heart of the world. So that's why it's a special thing. Now, when it comes to macholas asuras, you have a cotton. A cotton is not mechuyah b'mitzvahs. And therefore, the only time is higia lachinuch. When a cotton is able to understand, and you want to train him, get him to do mitzvahs. It doesn't mean that the mitzvahs are nothing. Prima Godam and says, why is a cotton put in kol mitzvahs? Would it be like a goy? No. Mishnah says, Shchita Zakam Nevela. Because the Zavachta Vachalta, Mish Yesh Vachili Yesh Nevezvicha. And a cotton, a cherem on Malgaban, Shitosim Ksherem. So what is the reason? The cotton is an oinus. He is emotionally unable to accept achrayas. And by das, what is das? The chokhmah bina das. Chokhmah bina, chokhmah is the actual idea, bina is building it up. Das is a third part of the intellectual process, is the kasher moyach al halev, that you're able to control your emotions. That's what das is. Mafteach shel hamidas. It's a cotton by das, you can't put any achrayas in him. That's why he'll go and Shabbos, he'll put the light on and off. You don't have to stop him, unless he understands what Shabbos is. Lo yigi l'chinuch, you're not mechuyav. But macholas asuras, even a tinek ben yoymoy, you don't want to give macholas asuras. Because metamtem halev. It desensitizes the lev. Not only that, but what happens if sometimes a mother doesn't have milk? The mother gives two eitzes. The best eitze is, get a menekes, get another woman, who'll take milk. If not, the mother says to put honey into the milk. That's formula, dextrose. Under any event, what happens if you can't get a Jewish woman? And you have to get a goya, a shiksa, to nurse the baby? She should not eat any nevelas atrefas. She should only eat kashas. Because dam neker v'nasa cholov, We don't want the Tamtam Halev. Now, the same reason of Tamtam Halev that applies to Shechita also applies to the Minim, the kind of species of animals we have to stay away from. We'll divert a little bit to the Minim. What are the physical characteristics of kosher animal? Mafreses parsa, mala gator. It has split hooves, and it brings up its food after initially swallowing it, brings it up a second time, and chews it again. Remember, once in Cheder, a little boy is chewing gum, says, mala gator, you're a behemoth. So, the Gemara tells us two are the simonim in the body of a kosher animal. One is that, so now the maligators have four stomachs, so that you understand. The other is, it does not have any teeth in the front on bottom. We have three kinds of teeth. There's the incisors, the canine, and the molars. Incisors are like a knife that slices, the canine tears, and the molars grind. The kosher animal does not have to have incisors. Kilchoch ha-shoyer is yerek ha-soda. It pulls it out whole and just chews it just very casually, swallows it, and the first two stomachs grind it up, brings it up again, and swallows it, and the other two stomachs complete the digestive system. So one of the signs of a kosher animal is it does not have shinayim, it has chanichim. Chanichim is gums. It has gums, hard gums, and it has upper cutting teeth, but it doesn't have teeth on bottom. The other thing is horns. The kosher animal has horns. Non-kosher animals do not have horns. You can have tusks, the teeth of an elephant. You can have the nose of the rhinoceros. You can have the teeth of a wild boar, chazir hayar. No horns. The nature of the kosher animal is, it is the prey, not the predator. It's the teref, not the toref. It does not have a murderous instinct, but teva, it doesn't kill. It's not carnivorous. It's herbivorous. It doesn't eat meat. It just eats what grows. So, the nature of this animal is such, Ribbono Shel Olam creates the world and gives each bria its needs. The needs is it should be able to protect itself from the predator. So the cow and the wolf, the cow and the sheep and the goat and the deer should be able to run away from the wolf and the lion and the panther and the bear. So it has to have the ability to run up a rocky hill where these predators will slide down. So this is like snow tires. It digs in and can go up the hill. It can't stand out on the prairie and nibble in the grass and nibble, because the predators will come after it. So it just initially pulls it out, runs up the rocky hill, sits, lies down, and then it digests it again. So this animal does not have retzicha, b'teva. Therefore, all the other animals do have retzicha b'teva. We don't want to get that. Now, this is a well-known thing. If a Jew gets drunk, he'll open his mouth. If a goy gets drunk, he'll take out a weapon. Because nichnas yayin yotzasod, what goes in comes out. He is revealed. And it's a known thing. In law enforcement, they know that also. The drunken Jew will verbally assault. Hakol kol Yaakov, Yudayim v'day Esav. So therefore, the animal also has to protect itself, horns. But the horns can also protect itself. So that's the teva. Now, in addition to that, Ribbono Shel Olam also made it that when this docile, quiet creature gets injured or in pain, it also brings out an ability to resist. That feeling of resistance is also not a good midah. It's also aggressiveness, becomes aggressive. So therefore, the shechita has to be done in such a way that it does not feel any pain. And as soon as the incision is made, it's anesthetized. There's no more blood and oxygen going to the brain. Even though it'll jump up and down. We compare it to Znav Haltor. Take a lizard, cut off the tail will keep on moving. But there's no neurological sensation. It doesn't have any pain. The emotions are not there anymore once the shechita is done. So the purpose of the shechita is to make it so that when it is killed, it does not feel any pain. Now, we can say, well, you've got another reason, Tzar Bala Chaim. That's not enough reason. For instance, Dogam Bechagovim, fish and locusts. Now, we don't know which locusts, but the Taimonim eat locusts. You don't have to shecht. You can take you ever went to a live fish market, take it, bang it on the head, slice it up. So Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't apply. Now, why doesn't Tzar Bala Chaim apply? Because when you use it for the purpose of a benefit or comfort of a human being, Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't apply. That's why I'm very uncomfortable to have a rat running around the house, or cockroaches. So what do? Set up a trap. That trap is terrible tsar. Sometimes they chew off their leg in order to get out of that trap. But for your comfort, Tzar Bala Chaim is left aside. You ever see a cockroach on its belly going like this? It's an agony from the poison. You're allowed to do it. The Dogam HaRavova in Hilchos Shechita brings a tshuva of Nodi B'Yehuda. This was a very wealthy Jew of Poritz. He owned a forest, he owned a village, like the Havdol Poritz, like a count or a baron. And the Shaila is, his Chavedim, the Goyish counts, what they used to call the nobility, they spend their time going into the forest and they hunt. They hunt mainly the wild boar. That's a very invigorating thing, it's a very challenging thing, because the wild boar, Rome is compared to wild boar. Chazir Hayar. But it's terribly murderous. So, this account was a Talmud Chacham. He said, two problems. Maybe it's Tzar Bala Chaim, when I shoot it. Also, maybe it's Bal Tashchis. I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to let it just rot. Just the pleasure of kill. He says, Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't apply when you have a benefit, you have a pleasure. That's why. How do they make a shtreimel? Tzar Bala Chaim got to catch that beaver or the sable or whatever else it'll be to get the tails. And they threw in a trap. Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't apply. Secondly, question about tashchis. Tashchis is, if a person can use it and you make it so you can't use it, that's Bal Tashchis. Those wild boars in your forest, nobody's going to use it if you didn't kill it. Nobody's, you're not denying anybody the use of something. So he said, that's not a shame. But he says, is that the kind of pleasure a Jew wants? Open up a Gemara and that's the pleasure you should have. Murdering and spilling blood? That should not be your pleasure. So the reason for Shechita is not so much Of course, if you could do something to avoid Tzar Bala Chaim, that's also all kinds of Tzar Bala Chaim. Gemara mentions various things, but still in all, the Shechita is mainly concerning the effect it has upon us, more than the suffering of the animal. So, the Gemara tells us, Halacha L'moshe Misena Chomesh Hilcha Shechita, five different laws of Shechita. When you take the knife and you cut, if you make a swift incision, don't feel it. But if you stop in the middle and stop and stop and go, it gets pain. So the first isur, first psul of shechita, shehiya. You stop. You start to cut, and then you stop. Now this shehiya could take form very simple. I cut, I stop. It also is possible, shehiya can come even not consciously, but you see it afterwards. Shehiya could come if somebody stands behind you and you want to go like this and your elbow hits the person. So if you notice a shochet, anybody standing near a shochet's arms, he'll scream at you because you're going to spoil him. Another thing could be that in the veshet, in the esophagus, that's the food pipe, if there is a straw and you cut the straw, while you're cutting the straw, you're not cutting the flesh. That's shehiya. So that is one of the psula shechita. Next is drosa. Drosa is kachoyte chatzinoin, like you cut a radish, chopped down. The chituch, the incision, should not be made by pressure, just by the sharpness of the knife. So if you have a very heavy knife and a small chicken, the weight of the knife will bear down. That's called drosa. Or even if it's a regular knife, it's possible that the chicken should jump. Chicken should jump, the knife presses down. That's another possibility. Another possibility is that, so that's drosa, that's prohibited. So, because you put pressure, the animal feels it. Shia drosa. Next is chaloda. Chaloda, the Gemara says, there's a certain animal called chulda. Chulda is an animal that digs down, doro beikre habatim. It digs down underneath, and it comes up. Some say it's a weasel. I think in modern day Hebrew they call it a chulda, a rat. But the real chulda is a weasel. And the Gemara says, how do we know? Because the Gemara says a chulda has curved teeth. And a rat does not have curved teeth. So chulda is a weasel. And if you shecht coming from here upwards, that's chaloda. Instead of from here. But it goes more than that. If the knife is covered at the time, it's also coming from underneath. So it's possible that if you have a sheep with a lot of wool and the knife goes underneath there, it's hidden, it's also chaloda. Next is hagrama. Hagrama means to go outside of the boundaries. The shechita has to be done in the kona and the veshet. The kona is the trachea, that is the windpipe, and the veshet is the esophagus, the food pipe. By a behemah, you must shecht both. And if you shecht it above the place, higher, or below the place, that's called hagrama. The place has to be just below the shipi koiva and above the keres. Now, the anatomy is such, when you swallow, where does the food go? Which pipe does it go? Into the food pipe. When you breathe, the air doesn't go in the stomach, it goes in the lungs. It goes into the kuna. There's a halacha by the arbakosis and by the matzah, haseba. You have to lean. So you have to lean over the left side. Why? It's very simple. You eat with your right hand, so you lean on your left hand. What happens if somebody is an itter? He's a lefty. Still has to go this way. Why? Because on top of the kona, the windpipe, there's a muscle. That muscle, it's called shipikova, like a three-pointed hat, a triangle, and has an opening and closing. It has a muscle, opens and closes. When you take anything solid, it closes shut. You breathe, it opens up. And it's on this side. So, it's on the left side. So if you're going to lean on this side, it'll open up. And chemiyaktim kona leveshet. The personal lender could strangle by the food going into the lung, and it's very dangerous. So the shipi kova is on top. The anatomy of the kona is just like a vacuum cleaner hose. Why is it? The veshet is a plain, simple tube. What is the difference? The veshet has to have food coming in. Now, sometimes you have a larger amount, sometimes a smaller amount. So it's flexible. It can stretch and shrink. And it's okay. It's good. The kona has to bring in air. And if that were just plain flesh, the air pressure would puncture it very easy. So the kona is made up of taboys, of rings. The purpose, why isn't this like a solid piece, like a bone? The animal couldn't bend down. I'll have the people also the same way. In order, if it be rigid, you couldn't bend down. So it's made with, how do they make the vacuum hose? They take spiral metal and they cover it up with fabric. So it's able to bend, and it's also strong. The spiral makes it so that the air pressure won't puncture it. So the shechita has to be within these taboys. If it's above the shipikova, it's like the tabasa, the top ring goes all the way around. The other rings just go until here, and there's a strip of flesh all the way down holding it. So the top ring, tabasa gedoyla, if you go above that, the shechita is no good. Then, if you go down to the point where it could reach the top lobes of the lung, where if you hold the lung upside down, that's the bottom limit of the place of the shechita. And the veshit is similar to that. Veshit, you see where it gets like hairy at the bottom. So that's hagrama, if it's out of the place. And ikur means to tear instead of cutting. So the ikur could come if the knife is not completely smooth and it has a pagam, then it tears instead of cuts. So therefore, the knife has to be chalak, smooth. The other pshat of ikur is a hernia. The two simonim, they're attached to the bottom of the cheeks. They're attached with like a skin. It's possible it should tear away from there. And a hernia could grow back also. So at the time of shechita, any of these simonim becomes detached from the cheek. That's called ikur. It's torn out. There are two pshatim and ikur. And we follow both. Both of them can make it possible. That's the general laws of shechita. Now let's go into more details. First the shehiya. The shechita has to be done roiv. the majority of the circumference of the kona and the veshit has to be severed. And if it's roiv shnayim, even by both, yeah, the majority of that, it's kosher. So what happens if you shech through the majority and you stop? Me'ikar ha'din, you would say that afterwards, once the majority is there, it's kosher. No. If it's the ma'asa shechita, is a shehiyah in middle, even though you did the shehiyah b'miyat basra, we even towards the end. That's why the shochet has to be very careful and very particular. Doesn't make a shia. You need meat kamen, meat basra, doesn't matter.
But if he stops, it's okay. He won't do the meat basra at all. If he notices it as a shia, he can stop and he won't even do the meat basra. It's fine.
I didn't get you.
Let's say he stops. He notices it as a shia after the roif.
So don't. So take the knife out. Take it out. And don't tear it afterwards.
And what about when then we get to the end of the line and then they rip it?
I should have shut this. There's no there. So the Rav, now how do you measure the Rav? There is a difference of opinion. According to Mitzad HaDin, if you have the measurement and you measure, and you see it's Rav, even though the eye doesn't see it, it should be okay. We're Machmir, it has to be Nidal Einayim. Without measuring, you can see it's the Rav. So because of that, after the Shechita, we have a klal, Behema b'chaya b'cheskas isroi medes. It's usur because of two things, a mitzvah saseh, mitzvah loy saseh. Mitzvah loy saseh is loy soichel called nevela. So they're not shechted properly. So there's no, and the other thing is, it's also usur eiver min achai. While it's alive, it's usur eiver min achai. And mitzvah saseh she'ena shchuta. The Torah says you must shecht. If you don't shecht, you violate the mitzvah shchita. Mitzvah saseh. Nishchita, once it's shechted, and you see a shechter probably, the ches says, hetra medes, ad she'yivod aloch ma nitrefa. You don't assume there's a treifa, but if you see there's a treifa, then you have to pasul it. So, therefore, after the shchita, there has to be bedikas hasimunim. Before the shechita, there has to be b'dikas hasakim. You have to make sure that the knife does not have a begima. You have to make sure that the simon, both simonim, were shechted properly enough, in the proper place, and the proper amount. So how do you do that? By an animal, it's very simple. You open up the shecht, you open up the neck, put your hand in, you feel. By an oiv, you do toikef agudel. You hold the neck like this, and you push your thumb, and if the kona and veshit come out, you see how much is shechted. It's called toikef agudel. So the way you shecht an oif is, first you get a hold, you say tefisa, you hold it strong, and make sure you have the two simonim there, make sure they're not herniated, and then you make the chituch, then toikef agudel. That's the way, once that's done, then the shechita is proper. Now even though you look at Rashi and Tosfos say, nidalainayim means that you can measure it. The achronim say, we shechtim v'no shaychis v'turim b'shasim, turim yeredeya. The shechtim just know the sefer shechitas. There are a lot of chumras there. The chumra is, it has to be without measurement. And shiv b'mit basa is also a chumra. Now, the way of the shechita, then the sakin, you take a butter knife, you never find a pegima in the butter knife. Put your thing. Take a razor, it's as sharp as anything. But the razor is full of pegimas. because they're very thin. It's almost like a piece of wire there. Very thin, it's full of begimus. What you have to have is chad v'cholak. And for that, you have to have a special skill. You have to know which stones to use. You can't just put it on a grinder. And you have to, at the time that you take that knife, also has a special metal. Now, there was a time, the two Miller brothers, when they came out with the stainless steel, that was a great improvement. Because otherwise, the knife could become rusty. And with rust, you can't have proper shchita. The rust will make an ikar, make begimus. But they came out stainless steel. And these two Miller brothers were able to make it so that the chad v'cholak stays. The sharpness and the smoothness stayed. They died and they wouldn't give anybody the formula. Just like the katortis and the lechem aponim. But today we have knives, but no one ever came up like the Miller knife. So, when you sharpen the knife, you have to have the stone. There are three stones. There's what we call a reisstein, where you have to tear and make an edge on the knife. Edge two sides. Sometimes you make tzad echad, mainly on one side and a little bit on the other. Sometimes even on both sides. You can choose either way. So the reisstein tears it, makes it an edge. Then you have to have a scharfstein to sharpen it, to make it sharp. Then you have a glattstein to make it smooth. Those are the three stones you use when you do the chalof. And you have to have a steady hand. You also have to feel the feeling from the tips of your fingers to the top of your shoulder. Feel that you're holding the stone properly, you're holding the knife properly. Of course, if you hold it the same way, you'll get a straight edge. But if you hold something like this, something like this, something like that, you mess it all up. So the skill, the shochet has to have special sensitivity to be able to feel. And then you get to the point where when you know, you can feel you've done enough. So there has to be chad v'cholak, even though it's a contradicting. Of course, the smoother it is, the less sharp it is. The sharper it is, the less smooth it is. You got to get both together. Chad v'cholak, then you can do it. So that's the chituch. And when it comes to the drosa, as we said, drosa could be because the animal jumps, my hand jumps, somebody is pushed, or it's too heavy. And hagrama, you have to know the proper place, and ikur. These are the laws of shechita. And of course, I remember we had shechita over here one time. It was about 30 odd years ago. That's when we used to go to, where is that place? Immokalee. They had some farms there. And they had a very primitive slaughterhouse there. We're able to shecht there. There's no rush. So, we also had at one time here a very big machloikus among certain people about a mikveh. And one person was a very charlatan, a very undesirable person. So, I'm sitting with Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm telling him then, we want to get started with Shechita. He said, we should have on the Hechsher our name, the name of that person also. I said, what? A person like that? So he said, the Rav HaMachshir is Lamala V'Lamoyred. He doesn't hold the Chalaf in his hand. He doesn't put his hand in to inspect. The name means nothing. Then he said something interesting. He was very careful to look at people's emotions when he spoke to you. So he noticed, because I was on one side of the fight, I just finished the fight, I didn't have such good feelings towards that person. And that, when sitting with him then you consider a half hour, it wasn't so busy then. He says, now we're Ben HaMetzorim in the 9 days. What caused it? Sinas Chinim. How do you overcome? Avas Chinim. Well, that's a good example of Avas Chinim. Under any event, the Shoichet is the main thing. Because he has it in his hand, and every moment he can spoil it. And if he is not conscientious, and there's a little slip here, he's got to make sure that it's taken away. And question is, what is the best system? Today they have the system of Shritas Oifas, where they have a staff of 6 shachtim. There's an assembly line. 4 of them shecht, and 2 of them take the chalaf and inspect it after every few, and sharpen it, and handle the chalaf. After 20 minutes, they change. Those are the chalafim, go to shecht. This way nobody is ever overburdened, nobody is ever tired. And they do about 900 an hour. Someone says, 900 an hour? How could that be? I said, this system. He said, oh, I remember as a child, we used to go to the corner chicken market and take the chicken, give it to the shochet, shecht it there slowly. I said, the terrible scene. Go at 7 in the morning in the chicken market. And the owner of the chicken market was not always somebody who was anxious for kashas. He just wanted to make his money. So he wanted to shecht as many as possible. So the butcher comes in, shochet, I got my 20 birds. Come on. The woman says, no. While they're fighting, a Yidina goes over and says, Shochet, darling, I have to take my kid to school. Please, shecht it to me. That shochet, that method was not the best. Here, this shochet just stands there, and the worker holds the bird. He just makes a tefisa, pulls the feathers away to prevent 2 things, to prevent halada, shouldn't be underneath, also to prevent sometimes if the knife will cut the feather, it can make a pekima. He pulls the feather away, makes a chitach and toikev a gudl. Chitach, toikev a gudl. And he does it without any pressure. And he does it at his speed. No problem in doing that. That's the best system. So the other part of the system is, nowadays they have a l'shochtim, and then they switch shifts, and they do well. Next thing is, you have to take the feathers off. Take off the feathers. They used to have, I remember the butcher shop, poor old ladies would sit there, pick off the feathers. But you can't do that. So, lahavdil by the treifa chickens, they dip it in hot water, the feathers come off. We can't do that, because the blood will be baked into it. So we put it in cold water. Then there's a machine that takes off the feathers. Then we have a mashgiach. He's not a shochet, but he knows enough to be able to inspect that bird. And it goes over there, and there's a mirror behind it. So he's able to see if there's any fractures or any bruises or anything else that's abnormal. And they open it up and take out the b'nei mayayim to see if there's anything there could make a treif. Could have a disease, it could have a puncture, could be missing something there. So he inspects the b'nei mayayim, and they also do something else. There's a powerful vacuum, pulls out anything that might be remain there, any blood, any dam ba'en. But there's another problem with the birds. That is called the rea. Now, in the animal, the lungs are open. Animals have a lot of other lung problems. Chickens don't have lung problems. The animal has lung problems, of course, it's open. But here's the Gemara in Chulin, says as follows. Mazuter said, Ulu said, oh, you can't find the lung in the animal, in the bird. Yeshna v'nechba ben atzlois. It's hidden between the ribs. Why? Because the bird goes up in the cold and it has to be insulated against the cold. So the feathers and the ribs, well, that keeps them. But therefore, it's hard to find. Now, if you want a kasha, take out the blood, especially shechita makes it so that blood goes there. So you can take your hand and pull it out. But they have a better system. They have a vacuum, pulls everything out. The kidneys don't have to be pulled out because generally you don't find any blood. Then the salt will take care of it. I don't think we have much more time. So then it goes afterwards and it soaks for a half hour in a big tank. Take it out, have a place there, and they salt it, make sure they have a worker there, and the mashgiach make sure it's working. It has to stay in salt for an hour. What do you mean, to pile it all up? No. This is a two-story room, and it has a conveyor, wide conveyor belt. They put the chickens on there, and it's timed. By the time it goes to the top, it takes an hour. So you put it here, an hour, dumps it into the next place, and you rinse it three times. So this system is a very good system. That's why you have very few problems. Now, why is it the problems, the lungs, you don't inspect the lungs of the chicken? Just said because it's protected. With the animal is different. The animal has two things why we have to inspect the lung. Before you put on your talus, tzaddik, yud, tzaddik, tov. That's tzitzis. Tzaddik, yivdak, tzitzias of tamid. Before you put on your talus, godol talus kotin, you have to inspect it. How about the tefillin? Inspect it twice in 7 years. Yerei shemayim, every rosh chodesh el. The big difference is two things. Your talus runs around all over, it's exposed. And it's very likely it should be torn, snagged. And I once said, a misnagad is a snag. And the other thing is, how much does it cost? It costs like $75 or more. It could take it longer than the whole davening. Besides that, the tefillin are enclosed. It's not even open to the elements. Very unlikely something should happen. The same thing is, all the other organs of the bird, of the animal are all protected. Unless you see some reyesa, you see something unusual. You don't have to break up the skull to see if there's no nekuvas krum hamayach. But if you see the animal dragging a leg, then you have to inspect it. So the same thing is with the lung is the most delicate of all the organs of the animal when it comes to diseases. Why? Because respiratory cyst problems. And you see, even lahavdil with people. Down here, we don't go around sneezing and coughing and going with the handkerchiefs and Kleenexes. Up in the north, they do. Because a lot of respiratory diseases. Here, the climate is better. When we shechted animals here, we didn't have any lung problems. Maybe 10%, maybe 5%. Not even that. Up in the cold climates, they have a lot of problems. So it's a shechiach, just like the tzitzis get torn. Besides that, it's right in front of you. And you see it, so you can't ignore it. So the problems with the lungs could be emphysema, where it gets hard, it doesn't blow up. But the biggest problem is nekuvas hareya, that has a puncture. Now, in addition, when you look at the lung, you see sometimes moisture. It looks like mucus hanging from the lungs. Now, if it just hangs, it's not attached anywhere, it's called sicha tluya, not a problem. If it's attached somewhere else, then it's a problem. We have Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, why is a sircha devuka that's attached somewhere? Why is it trefa? Soifel lehinokev. It's going to tear that skin because the skin of the lung is thin and the lung is always going in and out constantly. Soifel lehinokev. That's why it's trefa. Rashi says it's a result, mimachmas nekev. If there's an injury, a wound, an incision, what happens? The blood comes. The first thing you'll see, a colorless liquid seals it. So it's very likely that that sircha that's hanging down there came as a result of a puncture. But if a sircha tluya, if it came as a result of a puncture, then it would go all the way down and won't stop. Otherwise, sircha tluya is because of the leches yiseda. There's a lot of moisture in the abdomen. Just like you go in, you ever see, you go into, you have the shower, it's very hot. You see water dripping down. So sircha tluya is not a problem. But if there's a sircha, the question is two things. Is it sarfil enokav? Will it cause a puncture? Will it tear the skin? Or maybe not. Is it a result of a puncture? Or maybe not. So, if you take it, and you rub it between your fingers, and it dissolves. If this is a result of a puncture, the more you rub it, the tougher it becomes. If it's not soifel enokav, because if there's pressure, you see, it tears, the sircha tears. So, that's what they call to take off the... So what do? So you can rub it between your fingers, if you see it dissolves, and you peel it off from the lung. And then afterwards, you blow it up. How do you tell a puncture in a tire? Put it in water. You blow it up and put it in mime portion in warm water. Is it bubbles or not? That's taking away sirchas. And throughout the whole hundreds and hundreds of years, the Ramah says you can take sirchas. Beis Yosef says no. Why? I told you before, when we shechted animals here, 95% had no sirchas at all. So why should you paschke around? Beis Yosef came from a temperate climate like here. So he didn't have the problem. The Ramah comes from Kruka. Kruka had ice and snow and inclement weather. So that's why he allows to take it. So Beis Yosef says, no. If the Beis Yosef were in Kruka and the Ramah were in Tzfas, they would pass it otherwise. So what is it? My great-grandfather came into American Tar Lamed Vav, and he was a shochet. And he shechted for 40 years from then he retired, but whatever it is, he took sirchas. Everybody took sirchas. Then at one time, some people came from Europe, they said, well, let's see, maybe we can get animals that has no sirchas. So now about 20% of the animals in the Midwest, you come out with 20%. It's a good day if you have 20% of clear lungs. So there was a very small demand for that. They called it glut. First one started, his name was Psach Yalam. He was a shochet in Europe. He had a butcher shop. So a few people got that. And then suddenly it became very popular. There's no way that you can today, you buy what's called glatt kosher, you should have no sirchas. So it's less than 3 sirchas, they let it go. No more than 3 sirchas, they let it go. That's why today you have it called Bis Yosef. Bis Yosef, no. The term glatt now became something else to tell you what is without question, to make sure that the shoichet, zirei shemayim, and a mumcha, and conscientious, make sure that you're getting the meat, that nobody's trying to give you kasher treifas instead of kasheras. So that's what we call glatt today. Well, I think that was it. There's so much more.